Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
A lot of thank yous. Our producers, Jay Zawoski, Rick Camp, Ray Diaz, Brian Gertch. Updates were handled by Kevin Zipak. He was weird today.
Yeah,
and
weird.
Mark Grody, who's weird every day. Our guests were
delightfully weird.
Mike Florio, Ian Eagle, and Len Casper. Tomorrow, we're going to be joined by Jay Jaffe, Ian Rappaport, and there will be other surprises as well. And now, transition. It is brought to you by The Tile Shop. The Tile Shop is open to both pros and the public with 12 Chicago area locations. Visit tileshop.com. They are Dan McNeil and Danny Parkins, and they are set to go. Boys, what we got?
We got stuff. We got White Sox fans' expectations today. What keeps you interested in your baseball team once the calendar says August? Will you still be watching when the calendar says August?
Yeah, why not?
Every 3 out of 5 days.
Right, exactly.
Every 3 out of 5 days.
Because
that's what I'm interested in.
The other teams we're looking forward to seeing in 2020 aren't being watched right now. The Blackhawks, not being watched. The Bulls, not being watched. So will White Sox fans hang around in August? We'll talk about that. We've got NFL stuff. We've got my first run at Can't Do It, which I'm excited about.
Boy. Which is really the main event of the day, boys.
Wow.
That's the main event of the day. 3 p.m. If it goes well, we're considering moving it to 5. And, we'll see how it goes. Mac is very excited.
Did you bring Can't Do It from Kansas City?
So I did not. I had the idea in Kansas City, but I did not do it in Kansas City. I had been in my back pocket for...
Mitch wouldn't let him.
If and when I ever get to Chicago.
Okay.
Yeah. There was a music show who did a segment called None of Your Business that I went on. They stopped doing it years ago, but I got the idea from them. And then when the Singletary rant happened, I was like, that's the name, because you guys had Who You Crap In.
There's only like 3 radio bits.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
I remember years ago when Terry and I used to do Friday Fung, and we'd, mundane sports achievements or Am I a Bad Guy? And I got an email from Eddie Volkman, who was in B96.
Good guy.
Oh, great. Just a terrific guy. And he sent me a note. He said, all of your Friday topics are so easily repurposable for what we do. We just he said, we just throw a bunch of yo's and ho's in there.
Oh, wow.
I mean, what can you say? It's the old Krusty the Clown thing. If that's anybody other than Steve Allen, tell him he's stealing my bit.
Right. Everything's been stolen by someone.
Yep.
And it's
when we had our first lineup change in 2000, at that time, the 8-12 show, Boris and Bernstein,
correct,
took Who You Crappin'.
Yes.
There was all that debate over which bit goes with which show.
That's right.
And I said, please, take Who You Crappin'. Terry and I were hoping somebody would have taken Who You Crappin' years before. It finally was relinquished.
It was the great myth, letting people behind the curtain a little bit when it came to Who You Crappin'.
And
it always did a really good number. But for years,
it always sucked.
It always was horrible.
It was horrible.
It was terrible. That's what the people had this great association with it. And then what happened was the news cycle got to the point where the moment somebody said something, everybody made fun of it. And then to save it up for a week, everything felt like old news.
Yep,
and then the emailers are really funny, and the faxers are really funny, but the actual callers were not, and they didn't get the
reading
bits.
I always loved the script.
I always loved good luck with your first crap. That always slayed
that was
me.
Always funny.
I don't care.
All the bells and whistles were fine, and Gary from Evanston was fine, but the moment it peaked was the live Who You Crappin' that we did at McNally's in Beverly when it was the crowning glory of Gary from Evanston.
That's right.
And he won the Golden Commode, and his performance in that, in front of a room full of people, to stand there live and read his own work that he had archived. That he pulled,
the one he won with was a crap from like the 80s,
yes,
right?
Yes, it was having to do with something
ancient,
that was said about
crap.
Lauren Green, but in a way that only he could write it, delivered impassioned in that. And that was it. That's where it all it peaked, and it could never, ever, ever approach that.
It was a hell of a bit.
It was. Wow. It was.
How long did you do
a long
it for?
Time.
Too long.
It was like, yeah. Squeezed every ounce out of it.
Born in 92, I believe born in the first year of the score.
Sure, with the Ditka
show. The first
show.
Football season. Yeah. So born in 92 and died in 17? 16?
Oh my
yeah,
God.
We put it to pasture. Wow. And it was enough already because you have to, there's two callers and you know who they are and you know they both suck. And, yeah. you're looking at them
there.
Just blinking lights like, oh, God, it's black physicist.
No, Tanny, who has such an association with Boris and Bernstein right. and with what you and Jason did, has been playing the 83 stuff a lot lately. And I kind of feel like we're encroaching on territory that's not ours.
I believe that hashtag 83 Nation needs to live on.
People seem to think that Tanny owns it.
Yes.
It's his drop.
Okay,
and
well,
he's
on his show.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't see anything wrong with that. I think there's no reason to get rid of something that has some sort of brand value just because. And I also think that it has some ability to keep it all held together a little bit. And
sure.
Why not? If people don't object to it and if people aren't too territorial about it, hey,
I mean,
whatever.
You're the only one who would be. I didn't think you would. So, yeah, but the first time Tanny played it on the show, I was like, am I a score guy for real now?
I'm a big boy.
It's so exciting. I'm going to start leaning into it.
Ian Eagle is a fun interview.
Always has been.
Yeah. I hear him during NFL games, and you hear him during the tournament. That's when I would listen. I've never talked to Ian, but very, very willing participant today.
Yeah,
he's
guys.
A lot looser.
Son
a show
of
like
vaudevillians. His parents were both Catskills-trained comic actors, and his father—
How old is he?
Well, his father was Jack Eagle. And if you are of a certain age, you remember the Xerox commercials with the monk, with the friar,
what?
Who would get,
vaguely,
he was in the
vaguely.
Abbey, and he was asked, instead of transcribing,
instead
of transcribing the ancient right. texts, he would go to a back room where there was this copying machine, and they thought he was this incredible scribe. He was also—
Comes up right away on YouTube.
He was, the Xerox monk.
What
yes,
do you know?
That's Jack Eagle.
Yes.
That's Ian's
okay,
dad.
Wow.
And also, if you
Wait,
look
the
up—
the old guy or the young guy? The young priest or the old priest?
Also look up Fleischman's margarine. He was like Mr.—
That was our family's margarine. I'll
really?
Tell you that. Yeah. Oh, we were a Fleischman's family.
Yeah, look up Jack Eagle Fleischman's and see what comes
That's
up.
That's large lumage right there. That's like knowing someone who's related to the Shell Answer Man.
That's what Tim Floyd used to call me.
I've met the Shell Answer Man.
Seriously?
Oh, sure. He's a relative
if
of a
I
college
may,
roommate.
We're happy for
yeah,
you.
That's big. That's
Bring
big.
It all around.
I could
yeah.
not have Ian Eagle on my show, any show I did, without resisting the opportunity to play a little Steve Miller.
Fly like he's
it's,
heard it before.
It's time to find Ian Eagle on the screen.
Well, Terry used to call him Ian.
Yeah, of course he did.
Right?
Of course
just,
he did.
Just because, for no reason.
Well, he's got a background in our world. He was at The Fan when it launched. He was a producer update anchor at early WFAN in New York.
Syracuse guy. Who,
yep.
You know, Zach knows him.
I've met
that
him.
Whole cross-pollination
yeah,
Syracuse
that circle
weirdos.
Is.
Yeah,
Syracuse
no, we're
pipeline.
We're the worst. But now you saw, obviously, his kid doing the game. He's
yes.
a current student at Syracuse, WAER.
Does he do a margarine commercial?
I don't believe so.
He's doing Imperial, I believe. It's not nice to fool Mother Nature.
That's right.
No, wait, that was Chiffon. Was that Imperial or
That's
Chiffon?
It's Imperial.
Okay.
It's Imperial.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Chiffon was
a Lever Brothers product.
You
My father worked at Lever Brothers, so we had plenty of complimentary Imperial margarine.
And you're the Shell Answer Man.
I didn't have a trust fund, but we had lots of complimentary margarine and laundry detergent. Never paid for laundry detergent. 5 years of college.
What are you guys talking about?
I don't know.
Someday, son,
I don't know.
All this margarine will be yours.
That's exactly what it was.
Very impressive stuff. You guys had some talented broadcasters on today. Casper, Eagle, and Florio. That's some smooth guests company today.
Man, Florio comes out gate hard.
He's a great guest.
It's going to take some adjusting for me to the 9:40 slot. I'm so conditioned to 10:03.
Well, I think we had to move
it
to
just
yes.
today,
there was
right?
some shuffling.
Today?
Yeah, there was some shuffling.
There's a one-off today.
Yeah.
There's a load-off.
You all right?
As we all heal and as we all learn our new habits and navigate the way through the new score, thank God it's 10:05.
You will still be Wednesdays at 10, Max.
Wednesdays
Don't
at
worry.
10, yeah. Yeah, that's one I wish we could have had. I love Florio.
Yeah, I know, but he does stuff in the afternoon.
I got
so
it.
You guys
team.
Get Florio.
The beneficiaries of his schedule.
Yes, you are. Do we think we have a new catch rule that we like? Is
no.
this gonna is this
no.
gonna work?
No,
no,
it's gonna
no.
fail.
No, it's not gonna work.
I'm with it for steps one and two. Like, a football move, such as... So, all right, the catch rule. One, control. Okay. Two, 2 feet down or another body part. Yeah, makes sense. Three, a football move such as a third step, reaching, extending for the line to gain, or the ability to perform such an act.
All,
that one.
All I could think
that's
of.
That's the problem right there.
And control. If they're saying there could be slight movement of the ball within the realm of control.
That's different.
The Washington Post,
right?
Yes. The lead in the Washington Post had something like, the competition committee may finally have a way to change the catch rule. And all I could think of while reading that was the Arrested Development narrator voice going, they didn't.
Yeah, right.
Nope. Well, so not even a little bit.
But they have.
Fix it. You're going to fix it today, right? Well, if that's not good enough, you've got to fix it.
Well, so what do we do?
There's nothing that can be done. It's the most difficult thing to capture.
This is so much simpler than the last verbiage of it. The last verbiage of a catch was, you know, three or four paragraphs. This is less than 50 words.
But it'll still take 4 minutes to make a decision.
Right. So, all right, we're four reasonably intelligent Jamokes in this room. Mm. What would we do? Like, what is the answer if this isn't the answer?
That's what I'm asking you.
I don't know, because control, okay, that's subjective. The only part that's not subjective is part two. 2 feet down or another body part. That's not subjective. Everything else is still open to interpretation, so therefore they're still going to get stuff wrong.
And they've gotten rid of the process of going to the ground, right?
Well, right, but extending for the line to gain is going to be part of that.
That's Jesse James.
Right?
Yes.
Exactly. That's the Jesse James of the Steelers. He was going down, but he was going for the goal line. He jumps in. That should have been a touchdown. So I don't have, like, we all bitch and moan about this, but I don't know how much better we can do than this.
I don't bitch and moan about it. I'll wait. I don't mind. It's the price of progress. Technology has gotten so good, it takes so long to make what everyone wants in the end run is the right decision.
But they don't always make the right call.
No, they don't. And it's inconsistent. I get it. You know what? Sign me up.
That's the complaint, though. I get that part I'm with you on, but I just... If this isn't the solution, this is so much simpler than the last one, and we all still see problems with it. I wonder if this is the unsolvable problem.
All you do is you move the area of ambiguity somewhere else. You can't take ambiguity out of it, because there's always going to be one, whether it's the Burt Emanuel play from years ago with the ball in contact with the ground but still under control, or whether it's any of the ones that you mentioned here, the Zach Miller non-touchdown mm-hmm. when his leg fell off. All you're doing is asking for the ambiguity to be placed somewhere else where we haven't been able to foresee it.
Yeah, you're right. I would like to work backwards from the ones like Dez Bryant.
That's what they did.
That's what they're trying to do.
That's what they're doing. They're actually saying,
and I don't think you can't slowly stuff that genie back into the lamp. It's out now, so there's nitpicking any way you go. No matter what little parts you're able to stuff back into your box of control, you're not going to be able to get all of that back in there.
Are we all in agreement that we want benefit of the doubt to go to the receiver? We want it to be ruled a catch more than an incomplete catch.
We want it
catch,
to be
right?
just.
You want it to be just.
I'm a little bit picky on movement, more than most people are.
Really?
Yeah.
You want that ball to stop?
I kind of do. Okay. Yeah. You know, I mean, if it's clear control, if it's ball pinned against the front of the jersey but sliding to the other arm, that's fine because it's still pinned to his jersey.
It's still your ball.
It's still his damn ball, even though he's moving it and putting his other hand over it. That's still possession to me.
I think that's fair. I think that's probably, that's a judgment of a moving ball that still most people would reasonably think constitutes possession. And that's what one of the great things about some of the catches Alshon Jeffrey would make. He would just hold the ball really hard and sit there. Like, I'm holding it. Look, I'm in the end zone. Here's where I am. I'm holding the ball right here. It was very satisfying where some guys would try to tuck it or move it or get it out of sight where you couldn't see it. I like those receivers that let you see it that easily.
I have the hoochie. It is my hoochie. You cannot take the banana from me. It is mine. And the Bears have a guy who does that.
Supposedly,
I'm drinking more Kool-Aid every day.
Good.
I'm getting excited about this season.
We deserve it. It's time. We should be allowed to at least be optimistic.
What's best case scenario for this year?
Win the Super Bowl.
No.
By definition.
Dan.
Best case scenario?
Best case scenario is you can clearly outline a case for Mitchell Trubisky to be an elite quarterback.
See, I'm doing it that
way,
too.
I'm not saying he necessarily has to arrive at that level, but he has to. You have to be able to see Trubisky being elite from where the season ends.
Whether he is or isn't, are we now starting to see a Bears team that could be a wild card contender this
year?
Yes,
they better
be. That's what I think.
They should be.
That's what I'm thinking.
3 damn years in the wilderness. Make the playoffs. It happens in this league.
It does.
Be that team. Your turn. Do it. Chicago.
I will be shocked. I will be floored if they're in contention for a wild
things
card.
Things have to happen in the division, though. The division has to come back to them to some degree.
I think some of it
and
will.
And I think Green Bay is participating in that. I'm not nuts about what the Packers are doing.
Healthy Aaron
also hits.
I think that's our first.
Those I'm keeping. But hasn't Rodgers gone through periods where he hasn't looked like himself at some point, and just as Tom Brady has, that at some point those periods get longer until you're done?
But it seems for him, after that 3 week stretch is over, he screams and bitches at his coach. They have a come to Jesus meeting, and things come out just fine for them. That's how it's always been there, and there'll be hand wringing in Green Bay over that 3 week stretch, and then it'll be over. That's how it's been.
Healthy Aaron Rodgers, the Packers are better than the Bears. Until I see otherwise, if he's healthy and he plays 16 games, they will win more games than the
better
Bears.
Than, though, is different than Max saying coming back, too.
Their defense was takeable last year.
Agreed.
And will be takeable again this year, I think. Detroit, still pretty mortal. You know, what have they done? LeGarrette Blount?
The over-under
like
on their
LeGarrette
wins.
Blount, but Detroit is where running backs go to die.
Their over-under on their wins will be 8. Or, you know, 8.5, 7.5. It's always the same team, right?
But they've made the playoffs, what, 2 of the last 4 years? They have a much better quarterback than the Bears do as of now. So, I mean, the Bears have the least talent in the division and, as of now, the worst quarterback in the division and a first-year head coach. So I still am expecting progress and last place.
It's wishful thinking probably for all of us.
That's okay, though.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
I'm tired of being negative. I am so tired of being just peeing on everything the Bears do for years now. Tired of it. Sick of it.
I think success
is... Give it until the second week of September.
Yeah.
At the very minimum. You'll be back at it.
There's plenty of reason for optimism, but I'm with Connor. Like, if at the end of the year... we feel like we like the coach, the GM, and the quarterback, then whether or not it was 9 wins or 6 wins doesn't really matter to me.
That's all it takes for me.
I don't know how much you talked about it yesterday when the news broke about John Fox joining as a network analyst. I think he's going to be good.
I'm not surprised to hear people who've got a chance to talk to him off the air say that. You have others I know who've talked to him away from the game, away from the lectern. Which is on top of the podium, say the same thing about John Fox. He's a very affable guy. I don't know why he couldn't show a fraction of it.
Didn't want to.
He's afraid to.
He played that from
Bourbonnais a couple of years ago, right?
Olin Kreutz and I hosted a show in Bourbonnais, and John was with us in the trailer for a while. And on the air, I asked him, we played the audio earlier, I said, what's your deal? What are you doing with this whole act with the media? Why bother? And he tried to explain what he's afraid of and how he's got to be guarded against everything. And then off the air, he was tremendous. He says, Belichick does it, and we're all worried about people finding something out. They don't need to find out. We want to have every competitive advantage. And then he started to loosen up even more, and Olin said something, and I don't know, he was telling stories about Chuck Knoll and like drinking at 8 a.m. the day of a playoff game. And I was like, whoa, we're getting somewhere now.
The key is if he wants to get back into coaching. I don't think he's going to be good if he wants to coach again in a year or two.
Correct. But when Brian Billick, for example, when Billick learned that the dream was probably over about return, that's when he said, all right, I can say whatever I want. Yeah. I don't have to make sure that I'm doing anybody any favors. And that's when his game took a huge step up as an analyst.
And Billick is very good, but most of the coaches are not. Like, even Dungy.
Billick, while a bully, was still very engaging as a head coach.
Oh, yeah.
He gave great news conferences. When the Ravens stepped off the plane in Tampa in 2000 for Super Bowl 35, when he pointed at all of us and said, you're not qualified over that. I love that guy. Brian Billick, man.
Are you going to have Billick? Or do you know how that's going to be during football season? I don't know what his schedule's like.
We have not talked about football yet. We We're just trying to get the plane in the air. Yes.
I know. Not even baseball season.
Two can't do it. Get baseball out of the way. But yeah, I mean, I always loved him with you guys.
Yeah, I don't know how that's going to work because he's so tightly, rigidly scheduled on the days he does radio.
In the other markets.
Okay, how we doing? I got eight of these to do. Where am I? Who are we talking to?
Okay, how we doing? All right, my favorite salutation of any.
It's nice out today, boys. Go enjoy some of it.
Okay. Great.
I will do it. Have a wonderful day.
I will say it's a little cold.
It's not bad. It's crisp. Spring.
Okay. All right. Too cold for golf.
But you're going to go indoors, to be honest.
Me?
Yeah.
I'm going to go take a long steam, I think. I think a workout.
A schwitz.
A schwitz. And I'm going to probably do a crossword puzzle until the ink melts.
Good for you. We have Can't Do It at 3. And
it's like Steve Martin and the Jerk. Yeah. Yes. Remember Navin Johnson is lying and he's reading the letter in the bathtub? I'd go to the sauna and then I can't do that. I just sweat on it. And then you go to the steam for a little bit. My friends are looking at me like, you're a complete freaking idiot trying to do a crossword puzzle in a steam room. I'm like, sorry.
I agree.
They're right.
Yeah, they are exactly right. Yeah, so we've got Can't Do It at 3. And if we are still a show and on the air, after that, we have Brent Musburger at 4:30.
My guy!
Yeah. Oh, baby!
He is still, at his age, abs going strong, and be ready for some controversial opinions on things, depending on what fields you want to wander into.
We're debating that.
Yes. We're debating what fields to spray to.
Yeah.
He'll take you there.
Uncle Brent's got some thoughts.
I know he does. Yeah. He is a giver of no bleeps anymore.
Correct.
So, yeah, it'll be good. And we're also qualifying someone for a shot at Cubs season tickets. So,
all right, boys, we'll be listening.
Enjoy it.
Thank you. We're McNeil and Parkins on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.